Good evening. Thank you, Father, for your presence, the sweetness of your presence, of your Holy Spirit. I ask for your guidance. Come, Holy Spirit, and guide us to the truth. Fill us up with your presence, Lord, because that's what we need the most. I ask, Father, that we will leave this place different, in a different manner than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm very excited about this message. I think it's been the easiest one ever. Like, I just got it. And, you know, God directed me to go somewhere in the Bible. Well, if you can go to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. So, you know, God just gave me this scripture, and after that, it just, like, started giving me a bunch of things, and so I'm excited. I'm excited because it's really good, not because I'm teaching it. It's really good because I know that it comes straight from the heart of God. I know it comes from Him, and so when I was taking notes, I was like, oh, this is so good. This is good. Thank you, Jesus, because, you know, He speaks. He speaks to us. He's always speaking to us. So, are you in Luke chapter 10, verse 38? We're going to read it. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me with the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I was reading from the New International Version, and I'm actually going to be mentioning a bunch of versions. So when I read this passage, this story, just like things started popping up. And so number one, we're going to shred this passage of the Bible. So number one, in verse 38, it says, I mean, who opened her house to Jesus? It says that Martha opened her house to him. So why did she even bother in opening her house for Jesus and welcome him in if she wasn't going to spend any time with him, you know? Why invite him? It says that it was Martha who invited him, no Mary. So that was the first thing I noticed. Martha opened her home to Jesus. And number two, we go to verse 39. It says, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And when I read that, the first thing that jumped up to me was that she sat at the feet of Jesus. And that speaks to me of an attitude like, I'm not moving, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sitting here. I'm going to be here for a long while. I'm just going to be here and get all that I can from him. You know, she could have been like probably be at the door of the kitchen helping her sister and kind of like, I'm just going to stand by here and kind of see what I can overhear or listen from a distance what Jesus is saying. But no, she just, you're not God. And she went and sat there, you know, and she's like, I picture it like that. She didn't care what was going on. She just got there and it's like, I'm just sitting here and I'm just gonna get everything that he's saying. She just sat there. She got comfortable and she sat at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't in no rush to get anywhere. And I like how the message says. It says that she went and sat at the feet of Jesus, hanging on every word he said. I thought that's wow, you know, hanging on every word he said. Number 3, in verse 40, it says Martha was distracted. We read the verses, right? It says Martha got distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. So that was the third thing I noticed. She was distracted. So she invites Jesus to come in. She welcomes him. And in the message, it says, she welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. So at the beginning, I guess she was excited to see him come. And she just like opened, you know, and I see that as her heart. She opened her heart to Jesus. She opened her home and make him feel welcome and quite at home. I think she wanted to serve him. But I think that, you know, as it says, she got distracted. She got caught up in things. And then she lost the focus of why she invited him. Why she said, Jesus, come into my house. The Amplified version says she was very busy and distracted with all her serving responsibilities. And this is something that as leaders in the church, we need to be very careful. I heard something about this long time ago, you know. We serve Jesus, but we serve his body, but it's two different things. You know, one thing is serving Jesus and being at the feet of Jesus, loving on him and serving him, ministering to him, because that's what the word minister means, to serve. And another thing is to serve his body and serve the church. And sometimes people confuse those things. They say like, well, I'm serving Jesus, you know, And we get caught up and distracted with all of our serving responsibilities, and our time on serving Jesus, on being at his feet, gets lost. It is a blessing and a great privilege to serve Jesus and his church, but always Jesus is first and then the church. The contemporary English version says, Martha was worried about all that had to be done. So sometimes it's not just, you know, all our serving responsibilities for the church or what we're doing for Jesus. Sometimes it's just things that had to be done. You know, we have a house, we have a job, we have many things to do. We have long to-do lists. And sometimes we are just worried about it. You know, this needs to be done. I need to focus on this. I need to do that. But the first thing is to be at the feet of Jesus. Thank you. We all have things to do, right? Other versions said concerned, troubled, upset, preoccupied, bothered, anxious. And I think we all have felt like this at some point. You know, we have invited Jesus. We have opened our hearts to him. We can open our houses to him. But then we get caught up and concerned and troubled with life, with everything that we have to do every day. Because every day, you know, I wish sometimes I clean the house and it looks like awesome. And I was like, tomorrow I'm just gonna like kind of like to maintain it and keep it clean. But then I just, you know, I get lazy and so I wish it would stay like that every day. But no, the next day something needs to get done again. And so it's an everyday thing. The message says, and we're still in verse 40, Martha was pulled away by all that she had to do. So there's things that always are going to be pulling us away from Jesus. Number 4, and it's there in verse 40. Another thing that jumped up to me was that she came to him. So Martha actually came to Jesus. But she came with the wrong attitude and the wrong motivation. You know, so after a while, she comes to Jesus, and there's like 2 versions that said that she interrupted him. So he's teaching, he's talking, and she comes upset, like really mad. And she tells Jesus, don't you care? You know, she had the audacity of coming to Jesus, interrupting him. And, I mean, she was totally out of focus. You know, she opened her house to Jesus. She invited him, made him feel welcome. And then she got distracted and starts like, I need to serve food for all of these people. I didn't know he was going to come with all that guys, and now I have to feed them. I don't know, you know, I'm just trying to think what she was, what was going through her head, and then her sister is there, like, is the first one at her feet sitting instead of coming and helping me with all this. And so she comes, and instead of, you know, oh, what he's saying is really good, I'm gonna stay here for a little while and listen. No, she comes and interrupts him, and she complains. And she's like, haven't you noticed all my serving? You know, I'm serving you. Haven't you noticed all that I'm doing for you? All the hard work? And she starts pointing fingers. And what she says is a very revealing statement. She's, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? And then she tells Jesus what to do. Well, on top of that, she's like, she tells Jesus, you know, this is what you should do. Why don't you tell her to come and help me? I was like, who does she think she was? Who does she think she was talking to? I was like, wow. I mean, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? So the focus, I think, went to herself. And that's the number 5, work by myself. And sometimes when we're serving God, when we're serving his church, you know, we start focusing on what other people are doing instead of just, you know, our relationship with God is personal. We're not supposed to be watching or caring about what other people are doing, you know, or the relationship with Jesus. You know, we see things, but who cares? I mean, of course, we are supposed to care about one another, but it's not our business to be seeing what other Christians are doing, what our sisters or brothers are doing. You know, she was like, look at what my sister is doing. Instead of coming and helping me, you know, I'm working hard, I'm serving you here. And instead of my sisters and brothers coming and helping me, they're just there at your feet, enjoying your presence. So, you know, at the end of times on this earth, we'll all give account to God. But we're to focus in what we are doing for him and our personal relationship with God. And number 6 in verse 41. I love Jesus. You know, I picture him turning to him, so loving and gentle, and saying, "Martha, Martha." You know, he wasn't, "Hi, Martha, Martha." I almost can hear his voice saying, "Martha, Martha," so loving, so gentle, like he is. But to me, for him saying her name twice, it's like, okay, I'm loving you, but I'm trying to get your attention. Martha, Martha. So he was trying to get her attention, and I feel like God tonight, he's trying to get our attention with his love. But, you know, I really feel this message is for all of us tonight, and he's trying to get our attention tonight. I say tonight like 5 times. Anyways, number 7 in verse 41, Jesus tells her, you know, he confronts her with love. "You are worried and upset about many things." And the easy to read version says, "You are worried about too many things." You know, there's things that we are supposed to be doing, but there are other things, you know, too many things tells me that there are things that we are not supposed to be doing. You know, when it's too many, it means that, you know, if we're carrying too many things, they're gonna fall. Some are gonna fall. We are just supposed to carry whatever we are able or we are supposed to be carrying. So God is asking us today, are you carrying too many things? Is there some stuff that is distracting us and we shouldn't be giving of our time? Number 8, verse 42. Says, few things, he keeps on telling her, few things are needed, indeed, only one. So Jesus knows, you know, there's things that we need to get done. Like I was saying, we need to clean our house, we need to, you know, take care of our family. There's things what we need to do, but he's saying here, indeed, only one is needed. And I'm going to read all the versions. Well, not all of them, but there's a bunch of versions, and I like how it says in different ones. It says, only one thing is needed. There's only one thing you need. Only one thing is necessary. There is need of... I already read that. Then he goes and says, only one thing is important. And in that one, it had like a little star on it. In the footnote, it says that some translations say, but of the few things worth worrying about, there's only one thing you need. So sometimes we say, I need to do this and I need to do that. And Jesus is saying, there's only one thing that you need to do. Only one thing is essential in our life. Only one thing is essential. And another one says, but really only one thing matters. And at the end, only one thing matters in this world, in everything we do, there's only one thing that really matters, that is really important, and that we need. We as human beings, we as spirits, there's only one thing. You know, out of all our long list, to-do list, there's only one thing. Still in verse 42, number 9. Says, Mary has chosen. So it is a matter of a choice. At the end, we have a choice. You know, we are not obligated to do you know, we are not obligated to do laundry. It will be junky, but, you know, we're not obligated. We're not obligated to sit at the feet of Jesus. It says, but Mary has made the right choice. There's choices. Every day we have a choice. And in the New Living Translation, you know, for some of us, it's going to be a discovery. It says, Mary has discovered it. So we get to choose what we do with our time. If we sit at the feet of Jesus, or if we don't have time because we have a lot of things to do. If we sleep, I don't know, you know, it can be 5 minutes less. You know, there's times that I'm just thinking about Jesus and his goodness and how much I love him and how awesome he is, and I just close my eyes and thank him, and his presence just immediately, just I can feel it. It comes down, and I can just hang on that, you know, on his presence. Those little seconds, it didn't take me much, but I acknowledge him. I went to his feet. There's days that I have an hour and I can just, like, you know, play music and lay on the floor and just praise him and sing to him and just enjoy being at his feet and his presence. But the thing is that the choice we have, you know, I have a choice, you know, do I sit and watch TV or do I go and, you know, get in the bathroom for 5 minutes, hide and seek his presence, just be with him. We choose what we do with our precious time. Number 10. So in verse 42, Jesus is telling Martha, Mary has chosen what is better. But when I, since that jump up to me, you know, what is better, I grow it as a question. And some versions said, she has chosen what is good, she has chosen what is better, she has chosen what is best. And so I put it as a question, what is better, what is good, what is best? What is best? Number 11. You know, Martha comes and tells him, tell her to come and help me. And Jesus could have said that, right? You know, like, look, pobrecita tu hermana, your sister, poor thing, it's going crazy there. Why don't you spend a bunch of time here? Just go and help her. You know, have mercy on her. But no, Jesus told Martha, it will not be taken away from her. And another version, and in the Voice version, Jesus tells Martha, I won't take that away from her. I won't do that. She chose to do this, and I won't take it away from her, because Jesus knows how much we need it, how much we need to be at his feet. And I love, you know, the good God's word says, that one thing will not be taken away. And I love that. You know, things can be taken away from us. People can be taken away from us. Houses, cars, stuff can be taken away from us. But the presence of God is the one thing that absolutely no one and nothing can take away from us. Yes, it depends. If we allow it, then it will be taken away. Unless we allow, nothing or no one can ever take his presence at that precious time at his feet. And I found this article, and I just want to share a little bit about it. A Christian woman was tortured in prison and had revealed that her faith helped her get through the darkest of times, describing the experience as a honeymoon with Jesus. When we visited Gabriela at home, she stood up from her seat to welcome us. We immediately saw how much weight she had lost in prison. We could see that she had suffered much. But despite the weakness, Gabriel looked to us like a soldier who has returned from a war victorious. Her joy was very visible and quite overwhelming. We asked her to tell us what she had done, what she had gone through. Instead of giving a litany of woes, anger, or fear, Gabrielle simply said, "It was a honeymoon with Jesus." So they were, you know, they were hiding, having service, and they got them. It was 25 Christians because they were having Bible study. And I love, you know, I mean, why it was like a honeymoon with Jesus? Because wherever she was in the cell, she spent time at the feet of Jesus. She was in his presence. And that's what held her, you know. She enjoyed her time where she was, you know. They took her liberty, we could say in quotation marks. They took her liberty, but they didn't take her Jesus. So that time, no one can take it unless we allow it. You know, she could have said, "Well, this is the reason I got in the first place here. I just gonna be quiet." But no, she spent time with Jesus. That was the only thing that, you know, she was joyful. It says her joy was very visible and quite overwhelming. And she got tortured in prison. So the presence of God can do mighty things in our lives. I was using a notepad to write all this, and I had the verses, and I had the title, which I titled this Choosing the Best Part, and the subtitle is At the Feet of Jesus. And I had it there, and I was looking at it, and then on the top of the notepad, it said Efficiency. And so I was reading it, and I was reading the title, Choosing the Best Part at the Feet of Jesus. And it just, God told me, when you choose the best part and you spend time at the feet of Jesus, you get efficiency. You know, my efficiency comes to you. You get efficiency. His presence gives us efficiency. You know, in what we need to do or get done, and in the time we have to do it. Efficiency means the ability to do things well, successfully, and without waste. And sometimes we don't spend time with God because we don't have time. You know, we have a lot of things to do. But if we spend time in his presence, he told me to tell you guys this, to tell us, I will give you efficiency if you spend time in my presence. My presence will give you efficiency. The ability to do things well, successfully, and without waste. So again, are you worried about too many things? Carrying things you are not supposed to be carrying? I feel Jesus is asking us this tonight. And if we are to come and lay it down at his feet. Are there things taking us away from the attention that God deserves? Let's not let all that we have to do to pull us away like it did with Martha. She started inviting Jesus to her house. And instead of enjoying, you know, who cares? We can all eat quesadillas or something at the end. You guys can help me or some beans or whatever, you know. We can all together just whatever. But she decided, she got distracted. She lost the focus. Don't get pulled away from the most important and the right thing to do. Like we were reading, choose right. On Sunday night when we were praying, and I was going to church that night, but then I was like, oh, well, it was for this. It was for tonight. When we were praying upstairs, suddenly I just started, I saw honey. And then I was reminded of how Jonathan, he tasted the honey. And so when we were up there praying, I was telling Jesus that we can experience the sweetness of your presence that is like honey. And so I went to, you don't need to look it up, but 1 Samuel 14:27, that's where the story is. Samuel goes and picks up the honey. You know, they went to battle and they're all weak, and he gets the honey and he tries it. And it says that when Jonathan ate the honey, his strength got renewed and his eyes brightened. And King James Version says that his eyes got enlightened. And I look it up in the Hebrew, and the word is ore or something. But what it means is very interesting. It says that it is to be or to make luminous, literally or metaphorically. To be or to make glorious and kindle. And it also is be, give, show, light, to set on fire, and to shine. So when we try, when we spend time in the presence of God and his sweetness come to us, our eyes get enlightened, which means that we get to be luminous, glorious, and we kindle. He kindles something inside of us. And it says that we will be, we will give, and we will show light. We will be set on fire, and we will shine. So, I mean, his presence gives us, and I know you, we all already know that. His presence gives us a lot of things, but just the honey, the sweetness of his presence, it makes us stronger. It renews our strength. And it deposits something inside of us. The contemporary English version says that he felt stronger and more alert when he tried the honey. So when we get in the presence of Jesus, we feel stronger and we are more alert. And then we can do more things. And also the English easy to read version says that he began to feel much better. So sometimes we just don't feel good, you know. We feel sad, or we feel discouraged, or we feel, you know, whatever. But that's when we need to get in the presence of God, and we just feel better. You know, we feel better. There is absolutely nothing in this world and nothing more important than the presence of God. And I've just been feeling that really strong in my heart lately. You know, sometimes we take it for granted. And God repeatedly says about his presence, when his presence comes to us. You know, we need to seek his presence. We need to work for it. We need to be holy and set apart for his presence. You know, he resists the humble. He resists the prideful. So we need to humble ourselves. So there's many things to come to the feet of Jesus and enjoy his presence. So that's what I got from God. And I would like for us to stand on our feet and just, you know, pray there and ask God. You know, sometimes we commit to do things and we never ask God if we were supposed to do that. And those stuff are taking our time, are distracting us from what is important and for what we are supposed to be doing. So I want us all to just ask God to show us if there's something that we are not supposed to be doing, if there's something that is taking our attention, and to put it at his feet, to come into his presence and recognize how much we need him. Because that's what we live for. We live for his presence. You know, when we go to heaven, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be at his feet all the time. Father, we live for your presence. We want your presence more than anything. Tonight we recognize that is the essential thing for our lives. That is what only the only thing that matters, and that is the most important thing. What we really need in life, what we really need every day, every single day, we need your presence, Lord. And tonight we ask you for forgiveness for the times that you have called us into your presence, but we have been too busy to spend time with you. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Lord, for not giving you the attention you deserve. We don't want to be like Martha. We don't want to be worried and anxious and upset about things. We want to be like Mary and come to your feet and hanging on every word that comes out of your lips. Father, we don't want to come to you with a big list of things we need. We want to sit at your feet and hear your voice. Get filled with your presence and enjoy the sweetness. We want to try your honey, Lord.